In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's perspective is not the same as our perspective. God cares about what is true, what is right, what is holy, and he has an eternal perspective. Of course, God sees all things at once. We only see in a line. We don't even know what the next moment will bring, and we've forgotten most of what happened in our history. But God knows all things, and therefore God knows exactly what's important. There's one thing that's important in life, and that is that we will be raised up on the last day. We were made to be with God. So everything that we do should be to that end. Anything that we do that is not to that end is not only non-productive, but it might be even destructive. So the gospel today is about this eternal perspective. We Christians have this eternal perspective. Now we're celebrating these liturgies because of the death of my son, because the liturgy is the most powerful prayer that the church has, even more powerful than the prayer of the heart. So we pray the liturgy for the repose of his soul. And of course there's ancillary effects to this as well, because anyone who is in the liturgy and prays with any effort at all, God sends his grace upon them, enlightens them, and helps them in everything. So we're praying the liturgy for the sake of the repose of the soul of my son Daniel, because of the eternal perspective. Now, him being a college student and being really quite accomplished and quite well known, people say things like, he was cut down in his prime, etc., etc., etc. All those sorts of things. He had such potential, etc. The potential that my son had and has is the same as our potential. And that is the potential to be with God eternally. That's the only potential that matters. It's the only thing that matters. And so the Lord says in this chapter of John, that is the sixth chapter, very pivotal, important, misunderstood, ignored chapter of the Bible, since so many that call themselves Christians don't believe it. He says here, this is the will of the one who sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son and believeth in him should have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So this is our perspective. I'll tell you honestly, as a father, I'm very confused. Very confused about when my son died in a river in Germany. Very confused. But as a Christian, I know that what is important is that God raises him up on the last day, and that I'm there with him, and my wife is there with him, and my children, and those whom I have touched in any way, whether it be in the church or in the prison or on the bus stop or anywhere else, that they would be raised up on the last day. This is all that matters. This should be our only perspective. The world talks about that you should be open-minded. Well, I'll tell you what. A Christian shouldn't be so open-minded. In this way, he should have one mind, and that is, there is only one purpose to life, and that is to be raised up on the last day. That is to be with God, to know God eternally, to become like him, to fulfill our destiny, because we are made in God's image and should attain to his likeness. We're not open to any other idea about God or any idea about the purpose of life. And so, this is why we celebrate these liturgies. This is why we pray, because the whole purpose of life is to be raised up on the last day. Now, this reading is in the context of our Lord talking about himself being the bread of life, which is a metaphorical statement, but then he makes it very clear that this is not just metaphor, that he's like the bread of life, like the manna that fell down from heaven. You can refer to him metaphorically that way, and that's true. But then he also says, if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no life in you. My flesh is true food, meat indeed. And my blood is true meat, true drink indeed. So he was saying that he requires of us to partake of his body and blood for salvation. The Lord left the earth, you know. He's no longer walking the earth. He's no longer going to the Mount of Olives and speaking. He's no longer preaching sermons on on the mount. Now, his work is being done by his people, and he is present in the body and blood of which we partake in every liturgy. And the Jews couldn't understand this. They were murmuring against him because it doesn't make sense from a physical perspective. You can't understand it with your eyes or with your tongue or with your taste or with your senses. But the Lord said it, and it is true. And this ties together, for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, the prayer of the liturgy and our salvation. This is why we rush to serve the liturgy for our loved ones, whether they're living or dead. That doesn't matter. I mean, to God, all are alive anyway. But we rush to serve the liturgy for them and for ourselves because our Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life, both figuratively and literally. And so we celebrate the liturgy, the most powerful prayer in the church, for ourselves, for our loved ones, and also for our loved ones who no longer have a voice, no longer have a fleshly voice that we can hear, no longer have a body that we can caress and touch. But we can pray and have this sort of collaboration that occurs in a mystical way that we don't understand so well. If we were more holy, we would understand it quite a lot. But since most of us are not, we're aware, but in a dim way, not in an open way. So this is why we celebrate the liturgy for the dead and for the living, because the Lord is going to raise us up on the last day, and he is the bread of life. He also says at the end of this little reading that no one is able to come to me unless the Father, the one who sent me, should draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day. That brings to mind, when I read that, two things. One is, the last thing he says is the most important, is the whole reason for him becoming incarnate, is the whole reason for him to create mankind in general, is so that we could be with God. Because he would not make us in his image and then leave us to not know him. That's an absolute impossibility. It's not possible for that to happen. It makes no sense whatsoever to create man with a yearning for God and with a capacity, a deep heart to know God, and then not to be raised up and not to know him. So the whole purpose of the incarnation is so that man could be raised up. But then he says, no one is able to come to me unless the Father draw him. Now, what is this drawing? Some heretics would say that this drawing is where God picks a few people and says, those people will be saved and the other people won't be. And that's blasphemy. That's insanity. What it means is that God, through his grace, because of his mercy, woos every man, speaks to him in his heart. Some men listen and some men do not listen. So this drawing is God suggesting to us, come to me. In one place the Lord said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This drawing is where God is saying, I have all good things for you. Come. Come to this table. It is heavy laden. There are good things to eat here. Partake of the feast. Be with me forever. It's God speaking to the heart. But we, because we have hearts that vacillate between good and bad, we have to train our hearts. God's heart needs no training because God is perfect and holy and always thinks what is good, never thinks what is bad, never wants to think what is bad, never is tempted to think what is bad. But we are. So we have to train our hearts to allow this drawing to bring us closer to him. That's why you should be reading the Bible. That's why you should be fasting. That's why you should be forgiving your brother. That's why you should be doing anything whatsoever in this life so that your heart would be more pointed towards and open towards God. And so when he does his gentle drawing of you towards him, you will come willingly, eagerly, and with increasing speed, with increasing vitality, with increasing knowledge. So that's what we must do in this life. We must cultivate in our hearts the love of God. Because that's the only thing that matters. Nothing else. All of our accomplishments mean nothing whatsoever. Everything's going to go. The whole world's going to burn and be recreated. Well, all that matters is that we be such that our hearts are inclined towards God. And that on the last day He raises up. So this is why I, as a father, must serve liturgies for my son. As many in a row as I can, trying to do 40. For the sake of his salvation and for the sake of mine. And for the sake of my family. And that's what really matters. That eternal perspective is what really matters. All the other stuff, and I confess that I've got it going on in my head. The wondering why and the thinking that this or that could have changed an outcome. All that is just being human and having fallen reasoning. But God's reasoning is not fallen. God's reasoning is perfect. And His reasoning is that this is the will of the one who sent our Lord Jesus Christ, that everyone who seeth the Son and believeth in Him, that means live according to who He is, may have everlasting life, and our Lord Jesus Christ will raise us up on the last day. That's the only thing that matters in life. May God help us to be raised up on the last day. Amen.